Good Sunday. My name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. The program today is called Reflections. And just a reminder that the North Carolina Reading Service, we have been breathing words into your life since 1983. So for the next 30 minutes, I'll be reading to you from the Holy Bible, both New and Old Scripture, Old Testament Scripture. We always read a daily devotional called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. And we will also say a prayer. So let's open with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious January day. Father, we are so delighted to be listening this morning, this afternoon, and learning from your holy word. We love your word, Father, and we love you, and we thank you. We thank you so much for your son, Jesus, and for the amazing gift of grace that you give to each of us that believes in him with our whole hearts, minds, and souls. Father, we ask that you bless this week ahead of us, that we ourselves may be people that can share a positive word, a smile, a touch with people we come across, to share the love that you have for the world in our small way. We ask this through your son, Jesus. Amen. So thank you, everybody, and I hope the 2020 has been going well for each and every one of you. We're going to start today with Jesus Calling, and it reads as such: Let me prepare you for the day that stretches out before you. I know exactly what this day will contain, whereas you have only a vague idea about it. You would like to see a map showing all the twists and turns of your journey. You'd feel more prepared if you could somehow visualize what is on the road ahead. However, there is a better way to be prepared for whatever you will encounter today, and that is to spend quality time with me. I will not show you what is on the road ahead, but I will thoroughly equip you for the journey. My living presence is your companion each step of the way. Stay in continual communication with me, whispering my name whenever you need to redirect your thoughts. Thus, you can walk through this day with your focus on me. My abiding presence is the best roadmap available. And there's a couple scriptures today that support what Sarah Young wrote. And the first one is Exodus 33:14, and it reads, The Lord replied, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then John 15:4-7 reads, Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain on the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Again, that comes from the 15th chapter of John, verses 4-7. Thank you, Sarah Young, for those encouraging words. Well, last week, we're in the middle of the book of Matthew, and last week we continued to learn from Jesus himself about the many miracles that he did. He was healing leprosy. He was calming storms. He was healing paralyzed men, helping them walk again. And these miracles are preceded by faith. Believing that Jesus can do and will do anything. And the key word there is believing. Believing in him as a Savior. Believing in him as that connection between our sinful ways and God. We need Jesus. We need Jesus to be in our hearts and in our minds. He is the road to salvation, our road to God. So we're going to continue with Matthew this day. We're going to get through a few chapters. We're going to start with chapter 12, and I'll begin reading. Chapter 12. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some of the heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He, that being Jesus, answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He, David, entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priest. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate the day, and yet are innocent? I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known that what these words meant, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." I'm going to repeat that, and I'm going to repeat verse 7. If you had known what these words mean, these words are, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," you would have not condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. So what does that mean? What does that mean, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice"? Well, Jesus repeated to the Pharisees these words, and it's the same words the Jewish people heard time and again throughout their history. And they heard that in the book of Samuel, in Psalms, in Isaiah. Our heart towards God comes first. Our heart and our attitude should be focused on God. And if we were to do that, we would understand that for us to receive mercy, we must also give mercy. What God looks for is a forgiving heart, a heart that is looking for forgiveness, and a heart that gives forgiveness, and not just sacrifice. Sacrifice is easy. Sacrifice, we can continue to do what we've done, and all we're doing is we're doing something else. We're substituting that mercy for something else, and that something else sometimes is sacrifice. God wants us to look for mercy and to give mercy. Verse 9, going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick, warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. And the portion of Isaiah reads as this, "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope." That was God speaking through the prophet Isaiah about Jesus himself. Verse 22. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him, so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can rob his house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every sin and every blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation ask for a miraculous sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. That being Christ. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment of this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one even greater than Solomon is here, and that of course is Jesus. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes care of the 7 other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. At the final condition of that man is worse than the first. This is how it will be for the wicked generation. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my brothers and my mother. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went to the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky grounds, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let them hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And he replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak in parables to them. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. And Isaiah in chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, read this. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are the eyes that's because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because you will be pulling up the weeds, you may also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them up in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn." Jesus then told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked through the dough. Jesus spoke all these parables to the crowd. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came with him and said, "Explain to us the parables of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seeds is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the son of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who are evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let them hear." Jesus tells another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had so he could buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found a great one of value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it out on shore. Then they all sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw away the bad. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous, and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of the house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get his wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary, and aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters here with us? Where did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, Only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he did not do any miracles because of their lack of faith. Chapter 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. Now Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for John had been staying with him. Excuse me, I'm going to repeat that. Now Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, and that to him being Herod, It is not lawful for you to have her. Herod wanted to kill John because he was afraid of the people. He wanted to kill John, but was afraid of the people because they considered him a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for him and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist. The king was distressed because of the oath and his dinner, because of the oaths he gave in front of his dinner guest. So he ordered that her request be granted, and he had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus had landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up into heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went on up on the mountainside to pray by himself. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him, and he begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Chapter 15. Some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your traditions? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you." Isaiah had said in chapter 29, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." Then the disciples came and asked him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them, they are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then comes out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." We're going to go ahead and stop there. We have another minute or so before the end of today's program, and we'll take up chapter 15, verse 21 next week. We'll start with that. We'll start right there. I would like to say a quick prayer as we prepare for the ending here, and that prayer is this: Heavenly Father, as we come into 2020, early in this year, we want to so very much ask for your healing upon our audience and their families and everyone we come across. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for all the blessings, and we are forever grateful. Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Reflections. Please be sure to join us again next week. We hope that you've enjoyed the program and the words of encouragement. My name is Jim DeJunis, and again, I'm reading to you for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the blind and print-impaired audience. Please give us a call if you have any questions or any feedback. May God bless you and those you love this day and every day.